All right. Shalom, Rishon Messianic Bible Club. How are we doing today? We are working on some great things for you. Even Pastor Ben, you're working on the t-shirt, right?
Yes.
They should be on next
week.
Okay. And you know the designer, we're going to send her the first copy. We got to do that, okay? So we're getting this all taken care of. We're having some fun. And we are continuing our Bible study. The name of today's Bible study is God, the author of history. And I think that's important for us to know because if somebody's in charge, they definitely can tell you what's going to happen before it happens and put it in a book and have events happen on the exact days and times that he prophesied that they would happen. And then you have, because every time in the scripture, God says, you will know that I am God when this happens. You'll know when this happens. So God always proves himself by prophecy. And I love that because you don't have to guess about whether your book is from God or not. You can just watch, look back at history, see who prophesied it, see when it came true. And if the person who prophesied it came true, that's the God of the Bible. That is God. Okay? So I really want to clear up a whole lot of things, but we only have so much time. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about a note I got this morning, and I want to express my feelings on it in one of the underneath the videos this morning, and I sympathize. Okay, so let's pray in. I'm asking the Lord God, Father God, in Jesus' name to lead and guide me today. Hatilani oti bechadeborim chayom. Avanu shaba shabaim yidchadeshimcha. Tavo mechuteke yi aser sanaka. Be'aretz ke asher ne'asa be'shamaim. Ten lano hayom lechem hukenu. U selach lanu et ashmetenu. Ke asher solechem anachnu le asher ashmelanu. Vial tevienu ledemasa. Ke im chatzilanu min chara. Kilacha hamamlecha vehagivora vehativ eret leolamei leolamim. Amen. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillim, and bon alek. Let's get started, okay?
You want to show the picture in the...
You want to show that picture? Yes, let's show that picture. Let's see if we got...
Really,
oh, my goodness, you guys. All right, I hope you're sitting down if you've never seen this picture. If you drop my phone, I know why. That is Bill Clinton. That is a picture they took out of Jeffrey Epstein's home. Can you believe that? Wow. Why would a guy have a picture of you, of Bill Clinton, in a blue dress in the foyer of his house? Big size picture, I heard it was. And I'm like, I was just telling Pastor Ben, I wonder if Bill Clinton knew that Jeffrey Epstein had that painting of him in a dress in the foyer of his house. I'm going to kill him for doing that picture. That was crazy. I was like, wow, we live in a strange world, you guys.
Damn.
Praise God. Let me show you the book. Oh, my goodness. We got this book. What did I do with the card, Pastor Ben? Oh, there it is. Is that the I need the cover. Is it up here? I think it's up here, I just covered it.
What do you mean
the envelope. Yeah, the envelope. Yeah, let me have the envelope. Yes, okay. This is from Natalie, and she lives in Texas, and I can't see what city that is in Texas, but she lives in Texas, and she sent it to the church, but I keep one picture at my house of the Star of David, and Pastor Ben says, hey, we could put it on the wall, but I love it at my house, so I keep it there. Pastor Ben loves this book, And he humbly asked me if he could keep it at his house instead of me taking it at home. And I said, yes. So this is the book that she gave us. It is Shabbat Shulchan, which means table, or the table of Shabbat, or the Shabbat table. Okay, so this is the book. It's prayers, blessings, and songs for the Sabbath. Okay, so check that out. Is that beautiful or what? That is absolutely beautiful. Natalie, this is absolutely beautiful. Let me read what she wrote. Here it is. Dear S4C, Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, from my table and heart to yours, blessings, Natalie. Okay. August 10th, gifted to Soldiers for Christ. Blessings, Natalie. Wow. And that's it. And she signed it. And I'm going to let Pastor Ben take it home today.
Natalie, thank you. God bless you.
And Pastor Ben loves it. I love it, too. I have a book of prayers. So I was like, okay, I have a book of prayers. But I don't know if mine's is as nice as this one. But I'll let Pastor Ben keep it at his house. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. Oh, I forgot. Look what it came with. Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to put it up right, okay? Shabbat Ve'yom Tov. Okay? Shabbat Ve'yom Tov, okay?
It's a
good day. Shabbat, the good day. Okay? So, let me put this aside so we can get started. Oh, you're going to put it in your head?
Yeah.
You don't trust me. That's Pastor Ben, I'll just take that.
Did I ever say that? I don't.
Okay, I want to address something that one person told me last on one of the notes, and they said, be careful when you're talking about Billy Graham, okay? And I am in agreement. Believe me, people told me that Billy Graham wasn't a Christian a long time ago. And I would defend Billy Graham tooth and nail and say he's one of the greatest evangelists of all time. And I held on to that position no matter what anybody told me. Now, they presented things to me like Billy Graham being very good friends with the Vatican and going there and visiting and being a very close friend to Catholicism and the Vatican and the popes, okay? Then they showed me that Billy Graham was very good friends with Richard Nixon, and many of the presidents accept him, and all of them. And all of these are high-level Freemason, satanic people, right? It wasn't until Fiona Barnett spoke of Billy Graham also being at the Bohemian Grove that it broke my heart. You know, I looked at all of the... Now, how I could not look at a pastor being best friends with the Pope and a pastor being best friends with all these presidents and to think, oh, he's still a good man of God and to think something crooked is not going on. And then for him to be at Bohemian Grove, this is what broke my heart because now I had to make a decision. Do I believe Fiona Barnett, who said that he was part of the pedophile group at Bohemian Grove and that he's not as good a person as we think? Or do I believe that what I want to believe? Because once you're a fan of someone,
yeah,
it's very hard to go against them because you're a fan. You're not thinking logically when you're a fan, okay? And I was a fan, you know what I mean? I would see Billy Graham with the different presidents and how, you know, and I would see him at the Vatican and doing things. But until this testimony came out, I really started to investigate how could that be possible. Now, I know they do clones of people, and that's what I'm praying and hoping.
Yeah.
That the other Billy Graham was a clone.
Right.
And that's what happened. But I don't want you or anyone to be such a fan of Billy Graham that you don't research his history as a minister and who he associated with. And this young lady, we would have to say she's a liar who said that she was, I think maybe 12, 13 or 14 when she was a part of a pedophile ring that shipped her to Bohemian Grove, where she was taken advantage of by not only President Nixon, but also Billy Graham. And that broke my heart. But look up Fiona Barnett and her testimony. And I'm telling you, I don't want to continue being a fan. Because if you become a fan, you'll believe, you'll follow the lie. You know what I mean? If you become a fan, somebody could turn left, jump off a bridge, and you'll turn left and jump off a bridge. I don't know how many people got caught up into Scotty Clark's Divine the Scripture doctrine and said, well, I'm not going to read the New Testament or the first the Gospels anymore, because Scotty Clark has taught me that the Gospels aren't meant for us, and we don't need to be baptized because of Paul never taught about baptism, and you know, all this stuff. They just followed him into this doctrine, and they just stuck right with him. And I realized, because I was like, are these people studying the Bible for themselves? And I realized they weren't studying the Bible for themselves. They were following the victim of bad church. Okay, my pastor, I got saved at his church. He had a wife, he had beautiful daughters, and nobody knew that he was, although we saw the signs, nobody knew that he was also practicing a homosexual lifestyle. But I got saved at that church, you understand? Mm-hmm. I came out of that church, I didn't stay in that church, but I'm saying, when the gospel is preached, many people get saved in situations where the gospel is being preached, but the leader who's preaching it might not be as Christian as you think, right? You know? So,
is it Fiona Barnett?
Fiona Barnett, yes. And I'm not going to, now the other problem was finding out that, Franklin Graham was also very involved with some very high level, pedophiles up in Oregon, and he's taking pictures with him, and he's at Voodoo Donuts, which is about the most satanic little shop that when they got ratted out and said that they have pedophile parties, that this owner of this place has pedophile parties, and that Franklin Graham was a friend of theirs. If you look that up, the donuts that they sold at Voodoo Donuts, you'll go, what is Franklin Graham doing there? Because it was very, very satanic. Anyway, I want to get off of that, and I want to talk about our God, and I want to talk about these times that we're living in. And that's probably why we're talking about all this, because the times we're living in is just absolutely crazy times. Okay. Amen. Now, is there anything else I wanted to address? Oh, and for all the people that were thinking about studying the Talmud or what were we studying last night? This Kabbalah thing. You're welcome. Because I think the Lord wanted me to share it, because you know, you get excited about Hebrew. You think everything that's Hebrew is good. The Talmud is not good. You have no need to read the Talmud. The Talmud says a lot of disgusting things about Jesus Christ. The Talmud also condones pedophilia starting from the age of 3 for both men, for both boys and girls. That's clarified in the Talmud, saying that they agree with that. Okay, so understand, the people that wrote the Talmud were of those people who say that they are Jews but are not Jews. Okay, that's a cult. Okay, that's not true Judaism. True Jews stick with the Torah, the Tanakh. Okay, if they're true Jews. Okay, all of these other books, they would really stay away from them. Okay, now, what do I want to talk about today? And this has been on my mind all morning, and I feel like the Lord has put it in my heart to show you guys that we have come full circle in the history of time.
Yes.
And the time that we're living in right now are very real. I likened it to, I don't want to use them, but dropping breadcrumbs and everything leading back to your house, you know, and then getting to the very corner of where you live, and then the breadcrumbs changing directions, and you're going, why would it change directions, you know?
Right.
And this is what God has done with the history of mankind. Unless we can figure this out, I am personally, I don't know how this could happen, how this could possibly happen to us as watchers, to us as believers who are waiting on the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the form of a rapture, okay?
Pastor Vicky wants to know, what is a Tanakh?
Tanakh is just from the everything from after Deuteronomy to Malachi is the Tanakh. Tanakh is teachings, okay?
It's not the first five books of Moses.
No, the first five books of Moses are called the Torah. So that's your T. After that, you have, I'm being a bad Hebrew teacher right now. After that, you have the Torah, the writings, and you have the prophets, okay? So that's how it's in Hebrew, the Torah, the Ketuvim, the writings. So the TK, Tanakh, the Nevi'im, the prophets, okay? So you have the Torah, the ends, the Nevi'im, the prophets, okay? And then you have last, the writings, okay? So that is the initials for the Tanakh, okay? And so that's why it's called the Tanakh, because the first five books are considered the Torah, then you have the writings, okay, Song of Songs, Proverbs, then you have, you know, Ecclesiastics, then you have the Nevi'im, the prophets, okay? So that's what Tanakh stands for, okay? I'm glad I was able to get that out of my head, because other people are like, you are a bad Hebrew teacher. Okay, so that's what the Tanakh is. And so everything from Genesis to the book of Malachi is the Tanakh. Okay, now, I'm going to say, because I really just believe the Lord had this on my heart all day. In history, God has orchestrated history from the very beginning, okay? He told you how long it's going to last. He told you when the millennium, how long the millennium would last. He told you, that's just the wind. He told you everything that you needed to know concerning the time period that we were going to live in and the prophecies that would be fulfilled in that time. Okay? How did God begin this? He began this whole thing by creating the world in 6 days, okay? So by God creating the world in 6 days, and then at the seventh day, God resting, he basically was telling you how he's going to structure history,
amen.
Okay? Because he says, so for 6 days you will work, for the seventh day is a Shabbat, will be rest. And then what's the eighth day? A new beginning, right? So God is telling us the history of how he's going to conduct the world, okay? He does it by, in the book of Genesis, by the first verse, he says, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim va-et ha-aretz. He put six olives in the first book, in the first verse of the Bible, and those olives represent a one And when you speak in Hebrew, you say Aleph. If you say 2,000 Alephim, okay, so it's 2,000. So he puts a day is as 1,000 years, and this Aleph is a one, but to say Aleph is 1,000. So he puts the 6,000 years. He's telling you this is the plan, okay? Now, within that plan, he has other prophecies. Now, the incredible thing about that plan for me was that he put those 6,000 years in Genesis chapter 1, but I find those 6,000 years again in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. I read another 6,000. Hmm. And God, and then when you count from Adam to 2017, you find it's exactly 6,000 years, and then it kind of blows your mind, and you go, okay, whoever wrote this Bible is God, okay? So, we are talking about God controlling history, okay? Speaking to Abraham and telling Abraham what? Your people are going to be in a land not their own, okay? And they will be mistreated and they will be in slavery for 400 years, okay? So, God fulfilled that prophecy. In the original text, it says they would be mistreated in Canaan and Egypt. And you have to go back and look at that study, and you'll see how precise God was about the 400 years of mistreatment. Because for 30 years, everybody says, oh, it was 430, so God was off. God was not off. The 30 years that he spent was weaning the child, having the child, then weaning the child for 5 years, and then then basically after that, the 400 years of mistreatment began in Canaan, and then the last of the 400 years happened in Egypt, okay?
I have a question for you, Pastor.
Yes.
Gabriel wants to know, is it safe to go to Great Rory's harvest fest?
If you can get somebody saved, yes. You know what? Let me tell you guys something. Look, somebody would have said to me, hey, Pastor said, hey, I don't want to take you to this church because we don't think that the pastor's good. I didn't care. I didn't know Jesus. I just wanted to be somewhere where Jesus was in the atmosphere. You understand? What they're doing is not accredited to you. He has to answer to God.
Right.
But if someone goes there and someone stands up and gives the gospel and they get saved and they said, I got saved at Harvest Fest, you got to celebrate no matter whether Greg Laurie is partnering with Southern Baptist Convention or not. Now you're responsible to tell that person, this church is starting to be connected with the Southern Baptist Convention, because if you're not honest with them, but if they get saved there, that's the beginning of their birth. That's a beautiful thing. But now the discipleship, I always say, if you're going to bring somebody to Christ, you got to also be willing to become to disciple them. OK,
man.
To be a part of their life, to be a part of their growth process. OK, so don't I don't want to get on Billy Graham again, but don't just get people saved and then let them go. When you get people, follow up, say, hey, how are you doing? You got a good Bible you can study from? But definitely I would take someone there. But you being educated, you would be able to advise them of what's really going on. I don't know who he has performing there. Some stuff sometimes, like, he'll have people like Lecrae, who was in some bad, and find out who's on the ticket speaking too. I don't know. That's all. You know, as more I think about it, the harder that question is. But if someone gets saved there, God bless you. But I'm saying, you know, make sure you disciple them about what's going on. Okay. All right. That was a commercial. We're back. So we have the 6,000 years. God has planned it. Said the 6,000 years will be from Adam all the way to 2017. That'll be the 6,000 years. And so there we have it. We have the 400 years. The wonderful thing about God is that when he told the Hebrews that you're going to be in slavery here, he told them how they're going to come out. He said, you will come out with great possessions. You understand? So when the Hebrews left, they came out of Egypt, and the people in Egypt were so afraid that they gave them gold, silver, whatever they want. So they left Egypt with great wealth, okay, as they moved into their wilderness wandering. But you have to understand that God prophesied that 400 years to Abraham, and then God made it come true. God prophesied the birth of Isaac to Abraham. He said, "In next year, you're going to have a kid,"
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we have to understand that our God is into this. Look, this is when it's going to happen. It's going to happen at this time. And then it happens, and then you know, okay, I'm dealing with God. All right. Now, from there, you have many other things that are in the scripture. He told of the world powers that were coming into the world, Babylon, Greek, Persia, Rome. He speaks of it, and it happens exactly the way God says. Before Babylon comes in to power, he's telling Daniel about these powers that are going to come into existence before they came into existence.
Amen.
And so all of that happened. So God prophesied the world history of powerful leaders that would guide the whole world. And God said it will be Babylon first, it will be Persia, then it'll be Greece, then after Greece, it will be Rome. And you check any history books, that's the way the power source of the world worked out, okay?
Yeah.
But God already told it to Daniel. Now, so God is telling us the history of the world throughout the Bible so that we continue to know that he is God. Of course, he gives times of punishment, all these things, and they happen exactly in the year that God says, you're going to come out of Babylon in 70 years. Exactly 70 years, they come out of Babylon, you know. So all of these things are significant. One of the most significant things that I find in the Bible is in Deuteronomy chapter 30. So I want, if you have your Bibles at home, I want you to go there to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 5, because doing a systematic count of Hebrew scriptures. Now, we're talking about the Hebrew Bible, okay? As you're counting these scriptures in the Hebrew Bible, when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, it is the 5,708th verse of the Torah, okay? And in the 5,708th verse of the Torah, which is also stands for the year 1948, and I'll show you that, he says, he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it.
Yes.
He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. So, in the scripture, because in the Hebrew year 5708, Israel came back to the land that belonged to their fathers, and God has multiplied them there.
Yes.
And so God put it in the scripture of the number of the exact year that is going to happen. Now, that number in our calendar is 1948, and of course, it did happen in 1948. But he did other things with 1948 that would show you that he also knew it would be 5708 on the Jewish calendar, but he also knew it would be 1948 on our calendar. And how did he know that? Because he's God. But what did he do? He put the 19th book of the Bible to be Psalms, and then he put in the 48th chapter a whole story about the rebirth of the nation of Israel and fighting against the kings, winning, and then establishing Israel in the 19th book in the 48th chapter. Then he makes Psalm be the 19th book of the Bible, but he makes it also be the 48th book backwards, counting from Revelation.
Yeah.
So now you're like, okay, not only is he designing time, Now we're seeing that he's the one who designed the Bible.
Yes.
This is what I'm trying to explain to you, that there is no stress on my part, you know, because I know I followed the breadcrumbs.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
I followed all the breadcrumbs. And then when we got to the corner, I said, okay, something has happened. Now I have to figure out what's going on. Okay. Now, after in that is the 5707, I said, well, let me count forward 19 verses, because if I count forward 19 verses, it should equate out to what happened to Israel 19 years later after 1948. And what happened? They fought a war and they took back land from those people and regained Jerusalem back for the first time, right? Since 2005, for 2,520 years. So, as I counted forth 19 verses, it came to Deuteronomy 31, verse 4. And it says, the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorite, whom he destroyed along with their land. Okay? Now, God destroyed Sihon and Og and their land, but he gave that land to Israel. Okay? In 1967, God destroyed their enemies and gave land to Israel. So I'm like, wow, this is following in this scripture the exact pattern of what God is going to do. So I said, well, after 1967, the Jubilee will be 50 years later. Okay? And then, so I'm going to count 50 verses later. And I'm going to come to the 50 verses after that. And then now it starts speaking of, I will heap up calamity upon them. I will and spin my arrows against them. I will send a wasting famine against them, consuming pestilence, deadly plagues. So he's talking. And then I'm going, okay, wait a minute now. The rapture didn't happen in 2017. In the street, the sword. Wow. So all of this stuff, and this is what I'm studying now, is what happens 2017, 2018, 2019 that pulls this thing all together, okay? Let's look at something that happened in 1947. Okay, now I want you to be very, very good students on this, okay? Be a good student, okay? Okay, what time of the year does the year change for Israel? When does it become a new year for Israel?
In the spring.
It's actually supposed to be in the spring, but they celebrate their new year at Rosh Hashanah in the fall. Okay, so every time at Rosh Hashanah, they have a new year, okay? So Rosh Hashanah is usually in September, okay? Now, in showing you this, because someone asked me, you always say this. Well, we went through Hebrew class with this, so I think everybody knows, but I keep forgetting that we have new people. Okay, in this is a Bible study in our Rishon Messianic Bible School. There's a Bible study in here that shows you that God prophesied when Hitler would die and when his 10 henchmen would die, but he put it in the book of Esther, chapter 8 and 9, because he's telling the exact same story, right? And what's that story that he's telling? There's going to come a man who's going to arise, and he's going to hate the Jews, and he's going to plot to kill every Jew in the world, right? That man will be killed himself, and after he's killed, his 10 sons are going to be killed also. But they're not just going to be killed. They're going to be hung, because God wants to make sure that when this happens again, that you know that God marked the day and marked the way that the 10 would die. Okay? So what does God do? Jesus Christ says, this word shall not pass away till every jot and tittle is complete. Now watch this. This is, you see in the book of, in the Hebrew scripture, in that verse where it talks about Haman's 10 sons, that's how it looks. You see that, how it looks? Those are those 10 sons. But inside of that, if you see a red mark, those are jots and tittles. That's when you're reading a Hebrew book, and God on purpose will write a letter even smaller than all of the other letters. Or he'll write a letter that's way bigger than all of the letters. And so you'll know, you got to, it's up to you to figure out, what does this jot and tittle mean? Because God didn't do it for no reason. He did it because he's showing you a hint. What was the hint he was showing us in these jots and tittles? He was giving us a future year, 5707. Okay? So he's saying, in the 10 names of the sons of Haman that are about to get hung, what I'm going to do is put the year inside of their name when this exact same event is going to happen again.
Amen.
That's God. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you this. He also not only put the year, he had to put the month, because God knew the difference between the Hebrew and our calendar. And this is how he did it. Okay? So God says, this event happened. It's called the Nuremberg trials, right?
Yes.
So this is exactly how it happened. In this, the Nuremberg trials happened October 1946. Hitler had already died in 1945, but now they were sending his 10 top henchmen into trial. And all 10 of them got hung October 1946. Okay? The problem is this. The prophecy from Esther says that it's going to happen in 5707, which is 1947. Okay? For us, that's 1947. But the hangings happened in October of 1946. Okay? So how do we rectify this? This is how we do it. In September, the Jewish year changed. So it became 5707. Do we change our calendar in September? No. So we remain 1946, but they changed to 5707, from 5706 to 5707, which would make you think, okay, the prophecy is supposed to happen in 1947. No. It happened here, because this is the prophecy, 5707, not 46 for us. It will still be 1946 because we won't change our calendar till December, right?
Right.
God knew this. Imagine that. God knew this. So to hang them, they had to wait until Israel changed their calendar so that it matched with the prophecy from the book of Esther.
Wow.
Okay? And so that's God telling you not only a year, but he's telling you is he knows that the thing's going to change, and so now he's telling you the month that it's going to happen. It has to happen after this. Okay? So, why am I telling you all this? Because the Bible leads us. It's dropping breadcrumbs all the way, because God wants you to know. It says we are not children of darkness. We're children of the light.
Yeah.
Okay, so when the end times come, we're supposed to know. Understand? Because we're following scriptures. Everybody, each and every one of you, know that we're living in the last days.
Amen.
I showed you information last night to show you that satanic behavior in the world is reaching incredible heights. Okay?
Yes.
Wars are being talked about, wars and rumors of wars, violence. I don't even want to even include the random shootings that they're having, because, you know, the few that they've had with Trump, they had triple times. I mean, with Obama, they had triple time as many random shootings. And you can look that up.
Yeah.
From the time Obama came into office, there was just shootings and shootings and shootings all over the place. And all of these were MK Ultra kids that had been programmed to do exactly what they wanted to do. And we could talk about that at another time, but all of those kids that were doing those shootings were all MK Ultra kids. And so there's so much going on, okay? And us being the watchmen and born again believers, wanting the church to be ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're letting you know that 1948 is a true year that we're supposed to be watching. Why? Because we feel that it is, because Israel was rebirthed. Not because Israel was rebirthed, but because God prophesied that Israel would be rebirthed in 1948. Then God prophesied that in that would be the last generation, okay? So we're telling you what the scripture is telling us so that you can follow and be prepared for his coming, okay? So we get to the 70th year. We get to May 14th, 2019, the end of the 70th year of Israel. And who's still here? The church. I'm hoping that someday I'm going to get to heaven and God will say, The look on your face that morning, priceless, right? But let me explain to you what's going on, okay? One of the members said to me, God is, the book of Revelation seems to be written in forms of threes, of a triune, okay? I appreciate it. I'm trying to think of the name, but, you know, trying to remember, think about 3,000 people is hard sometimes. But she said, God seems to, because in the scriptures you have the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, okay? You have the false prophet, the beast, and the antichrist, okay? So the triune, God doing things in triune, doesn't seem to be out of stretch with God. You understand?
Right.
And so 2017, which was the Jubilee year, 2018, which is for Psalms 118, and 2019, which is the 888 scriptures, the Aleph Tav scriptures that each have eight verses. Is this the time of God? Is this the time that the 888 appears on the scene and everything begins? And if that is the time, does from 2019 to 2000, for 7 years later, tell the story of the tribulation, meaning that it would be what, 2027? Because we're thinking of the Hebrew clock as well. So we're looking at the triune that God has, and then so now I'm doing a heavy duty study, and this is what I need you to pray. I'm doing a study from Psalms 119 and counting 7 years later. We already looked at Psalms 124, and it looks like a mid-trib event, okay?
Right.
And then we're going to all go all the way to the end of that 7 years and look and see if it has a figure of a return or a rescue of the nation of Israel, okay?
Amen.
That's the study that you basically can do at home on your own, but I want you to know that when Scotty Clark came up with the Revelation 12, God was just like, all of these people, and see, after people were telling us, hey, I'm seeing this, okay? What are you? You're a watchman. What is a watchman? You see something and you got to bark,
yeah.
Okay? because your owner is expecting, you know what I mean? Who wants a dog that's sitting in the backyard and the burglar jumps the fence and the dog just looks up and goes, oh, it's a burglar, I'm going back to bed, right? A watchman can't do that. So we started barking and everybody. Now, everybody that did this on the behalf of the church, you know what the secular world and some Christians call us? They're nuts. They're all false prophets. They're the worst people ever. They got my hopes up. I can't stand them, okay? But all God was doing was using a group of people to warn you about a day that's coming. And God knows that it's still on the schedule and it's still coming. And God knows that even if we couldn't pinpoint the day or the year, God knows that there's going to be a rapture, there is going to be a tribulation, and there will be a rescue of the nation of Israel.
Yes.
He's written that from Scripture from the beginning to the present time, that this is how the events are going to come to pass.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're not false prophets. A false prophet would have to preach against the word of God. That means Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
And I say, oh, no, there's other ways to come to it. Then I'm a false prophet because I'm speaking opposite of what God is speaking. Okay?
Right.
Or if I say, the church is going to have to struggle and fight through the tribulation, born again people believe that the bride of Christ is going to be running for their lives during the tribulation, and God's going to pull them out the very last minute.
Mm.
And that is unbiblical, okay?
Amen.
So to not be a false prophet means I have to preach to you what the word of God says. And I know that there's going to be a rapture, there's going to be a tribulation, and there's going to be a rescue, okay?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, Pastor Ben, are we done?
I think so.
How much time we have?
We have about 6 minutes.
6 minutes. Okay. I want you guys to know, if you didn't get this information we were looking at last night, I do have it. Email me. You can email Pastor Ben. You can blow him up. But email me. Right. And I will send you a copy of this, because it's good for you to know that. And I want you to be able to look at this as well. Because it has quite a good understanding on, especially those people who ask me about studying the Kabbalah, about why you shouldn't be doing that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Only these pictures are only a few of the celebrities that are into this Kabbalah witchcraft in Hollywood. So I just want you to know, once you start looking at the pictures, you're going to find, wow, everybody that's absolutely evil has a red string around their finger. And they're all into the same thing in Hollywood, this Kabbalah worship, okay? So, and then...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Someone was asking, is there some kind of list that they can look at to know who to follow?
Who to follow?
Because there's so many false prophets. There's so many. What can they do to know who to and who not to follow?
You know what? All I can tell you is that me and Pastor Ben are a good couple guys to follow.
Amen.
And I'm only saying this because God doesn't have to call you to ministry these days somehow. I don't know why. I was fighting it for years. My brother trying to get me to be a minister. And I'm like, when God calls me, that's when I'll do it. But nowadays, you too can call you to ministry. You know, being popular can call you to ministry.
Yep.
So I'm going to say this. We're a good source. If you haven't done the Hebrew Bible study and you don't have the material, I'll send it to you. But you got to get a good base of scripture for yourself, so that when you're listening to people, that you know and understand that these people are not teaching the Bible, they're teaching something else. Okay? Someone sent me something today. I'm just laughing because they sent me something, and it was a big fire in the thing in the background. So they were filming this big fire in the background, and they say, "Oh, the Gentiles are about to get it. The Gentiles, all these Gentiles, are about to get it. God's coming for the Hebrews." that the black people, the Hebrews, and the evil people are all the other people, right? Because God is only into black people, because they're black Hebrew Israelites. So he's taking a picture of this fire, and he said, it says here in the scripture that he's going to send his fire before him to destroy the world before he comes. So God's going to rescue the Hebrews, the black Hebrews. And they sent me this, like, look at this, Pastor. God is showing that he's about to come by sending this fire. Like, stop. When God comes the first time, it'll be like the vision I had now. He's coming down to the clouds.
Right.
And that's it. When he takes us out of the world, he's coming down to the cloud. When you see fire hit the earth, coming from the mouth, the sword of God, which is Jesus returning, that will be the end.
Yeah.
That will be the fire, not a fire you see and you're filming on your phone. Okay, they said this is the fire that he said is going to appear before he destroys them. No, it's not. Okay, I sent that guy a note like, dude, you and this black Hebrew Israelites is crazy. Okay.
Crazy.
And Hillary Clinton's daughter, Chelsea Clinton, married one of the Soros boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Soros is the one who financed Black Lives Matter and Black Hebrew Israelites, okay?
Really?
He got those two things going because he's trying to get this hatred built up against the Jews, okay? Because remember, he says he's a Jew, but he's the synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea Clinton marries one of his sons. And here's Chelsea Clinton with an upside down cross on. So Chelsea Clinton is somehow a Satanist, and it's because I keep telling you, Nephilim have children. Bill and Hillary had a child, and her name is Hillary. I mean, her name is Kids Get Saved. Nephilim children don't get saved.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
We got to understand the time that we're living in. God says they are living amongst us. They have plans for human beings. They want to destroy human beings. We have a plan, and our plan is Jesus Christ. And our greatest hero, our greatest rescue is Jesus Christ and his rapture. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Dr. Barry said Soros means divide in Hebrew.
Is that right? All right. I'm going to look up that has to be modern Hebrew. So I'm going to look that up. But definitely Soros is a divider, because Soros is the guy that was selling Jews during the Holocaust. And he says he was a Jew, but he was selling Jews for camp slavery. So but he is. There's some countries don't even let George Soros in the country anymore. He's so evil. OK, but, you know, and then at the Hillary Clinton at Chelsea's wedding. Is who? Maxine, the lady who was helping out Epstein, who was helping Epstein get all these young girls. She was at Hillary Clinton's wedding. So all these people are in one circle. Nephilim hang together. They have finger signs that they throw up to let you know I'm a Nephilim too, and all this, right? So they're here. I wish there was a way. Like there was an old movie where you put the glasses on and you could see who wasn't really human.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way we could find out who's not human, who's not with us, and who is. But during the tribulation, everybody will know who they are, because when they get to heaven, they'll ask God to deal with the inhabitants, okay? Because now all of a sudden you know that they weren't human, okay?
Amen.
So it's coming and we're leaving. So God is good. Let's pray out.
Yes.
Dr. Barry, it's good to hear from you. You got any revelations, let me know, because I respect them. And so let's look at this and let's pray out.
Yes.
I'm going to be studying Psalms 120 to Psalms 127, and I'm going to be doing an in-depth Gematria, letters, names. I'm going to be doing a serious study because I want to know why all of history led us to 1948, 70 years after, and then took a turn, unless these 3 years are combined and God is about to do his thing. Praise God. So let's pray out. Someone sent me this last night in one of the cards. I love that. they put on here our prayer. And it says here to Moses, when you see my people, make sure that you bless them this way. Say, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekeka Adonai veYishmareka. Yair Adonai panavilecha veHunecha. Yiasei Adonai panavilecha veYasim lekai shalom. Shalom, everybody. We got the Bible Club t-shirts coming, so we will let you know exactly when we have them and everything.
It's supposed to be here on the 22nd.
Is that right? Did you buy a lot of them?
No, I just bought a couple.
Yeah, here's a couple. Yeah, because we're going to tell you. We're not going to try to. We ain't going to be no t-shirt company.
No.
So we will make them available.
Yeah.
You get them at whatever the company decides, that, and they will ship it to you. We're not going to stack up like, well, we'll buy them for $7 and we'll sell them for $27
no.
bucks and we'll fleece the people of God. And then God is slapping me and his, no, me and Pastor like Ben around. We are doing whatever it costs for the company to make it. We want you to get it exactly from them and get it shipped to you. We don't want to sell you no hats. We don't want to market God at all because God has given us everything for free.
Amen.
And we want to give you everything for free.
That's right.
And, you know, we may keep a few around here. If you come and visit, you might get a free t-shirt.
Ooh, amen.
Praise God.
I like that.
Okay, so praise God. And we'll see you next week. Did I just forget? Bishavua Haba. Okay. Got a tongue twister. God bless.
Amen.
Yes.